The next case on this morning's call is number 03-3409, Dennis H. Harvey against the Maytag Corporation. Mr. Grubbs.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. This case involves some particularly repugnant language. There are some words I don't like to use. I'm going to have to use in the course of my argument. I apologize to the court if they're offensive. If I shouldn't use the words, please let me know. Dennis Harvey, black male, was employed by Maytag Corporation in 1980. Most recently worked as a forklift operator. He claimed throughout his employment he was subjected to continuous racial discrimination in the form of racial slurs from co-employees and management. Specifically, plaintiff claims on numerous occasions he was being paged over the company public access address system.
We only know about two occasions. Where do you get numerous occasions from?
Your Honor, in the plaintiff, Mr. Harvey, has indicated that there were numerous announcements over the public address system that it happened on a very frequent basis.
He never complained about any of them, though, did he?
I believe that's inaccurate, Your Honor. That's what is found by the trial court. I believe there are significant factual differences between the plaintiff's case and the defendant's case, and our complaint is that the trial judge, in all due respect to Judge Foreman, basically accepted the version of facts offered by the employer. Dennis Harvey complained to Human Resources, to Mary Lou Baxter. She, for about a two-week period, limited access to the PA system. The racial slurs once again continued up until the day Dennis Harvey was fired for basically not getting along with his co-employee.
Now that's the question I want to ask after, because I understand he complained in the first instance and she shut down the system for 2 weeks. Then your client says that this occurs again. Is there anything in the record that shows that he went back to her again to say it started up again or filed any kind of written complaint?
Your Honor, it's obvious from the record that Mr. Cook, who was the person who actually discharged him, knew about the racial slurs because he apologized. It's also clear
that was after his first episode, though, wasn't it?
Was that apology after the first or second? Because my understanding is that was after the first.
Well, he also spoke to Bob Witherspoon, and it continued. And I think that...
Give me the timing. I don't understand. I'm just trying to get the sequence.
Well, those are factual issues, and I believe Mr. Harvey's testified and indicated, and it's our allegations, that this basically was a continuous process.
I understand what he's saying. What I'm saying, though, is... When did he, after the system gets shut down and it comes back up again, and he says this continues, who is it that he goes to complain, even according to his testimony? Who is it in management that he complains to or he makes a written statement saying this has started back up again?
There clearly wasn't a written statement, and it's our position that this was over the public address system. 1,200 employees could hear him being...
So your position is he didn't need to complain.
He didn't need to complain anymore. Everybody could hear it. What more is the man supposed to do? He's already complained. You're walking through the plant and they call you that. And how much more insulting, how much more abusive of a work environment could there be other than co-employees putting hangman nooses from the fork trucks, putting stuffed monkeys in their off their hangman's noose, and not finding that to be abusive? I think it's incredible that the conduct which he complains of couldn't be no more severe or pervasive. I can't imagine a more abusive work environment than what Dennis Harvey has experienced.
And then do you have some cases that suggest that because if someone has complained one time and there's been a correction and then the behavior continues, that if the behavior is so pervasive, you don't have to complain again? Do you have any authority to I understand your argument, but you have any authority for that?
I don't have a specific, I don't think there are any cases where there would be a PA system wherever.
No, it doesn't have to be a PA system, but I mean, it could be things that were posted again back on a bulletin board that were subject to a lot of employees seeing it. I just, anything that deals with the pervasiveness.
Nothing more than the facts. I don't have a case.
All right.
How about the nooses on the forklift? What specifically is the allegation there? I have the impression there was some conversation about it with a couple of people, but I don't think any formal complaint was made about it. And
yes,
as far as I know, there was some difference of opinion of what it amounted to. But.
Well, if this was an oral argument, if it was a trial, I could get one of the objects out of my briefcase and hold it up to you, and there'd be no doubt what it was. Okay, the whole argument that this.
Well, you've got to put something in the record here if you're going to contest a summary judgment.
What we have in the record, Your Honor, is Mr. Harvey's testimony and statements that this was a hangman's noose. I mean, a hangman's noose is obvious, especially to a black male. Not only was it hanging from the fork truck of other co-workers, they had a stuffed monkey in the hangman's noose. He asked his supervisor.
Well, one person had a stuffed monkey, is that
correct? That's correct.
Is that right? All right.
Well, how many times did it take?
Well, I don't know. It's your problem to convince us that you put enough evidence in here.
The supervisor, Mr. Leeper, was asked by Mr. Harvey, why do the guys have hangman's nooses on their fork trucks? Okay, when you take this conduct together with the PA comments that had been ongoing, and remember, Mr. Harvey worked at Maytag for 20 years, he said we know the conduct went back at least 3 or 4 years because we have the jungle plum comment, we have the black ass comment, we've got now we have hangman's nooses. He asked one of the co-employees, Mr. Gurley, what's that for? And his reply was, it could be you, but I'll bring a bigger noose or a bigger rope.
And the comment that he makes to Leeper asking the question why these hangman nooses are on the forklift, after he gets the response that saying that this is utilized by the forklift drivers because they have to reach back, you know, in order to balance themselves, does he say, I find this very offensive, this is offensive, this is racist, and this should stop? Does he say that to Leeper then or at any time or file any formal complaint?
He didn't file a formal complaint. He told his supervisor. He asked him why they had him.
That's just what I outlined. I'm
right.
Saying after he gives that response to him, does he say, I find this offensive, this is racially motivated, this should stop? Did he say that to Leeper?
That's not in the record.
That's not in the record. So this would be an instance where you're saying that it's so pervasive that Leeper should have known that it was racist and therefore should have stopped. That's enough notice to the company.
It's our position that the hangman's noose is a symbol, and by its presence, it is by itself abusive. I think the argument, and of course, we're talking about facts. I think.
I understand that. And so, again, do you have a case that supports that theory? You know, because there's a lot of law out here that is not helpful to your client in terms of complaining to management about things, specifically complaining what the racist conduct is. So I'm asking you, do you have a case that says when you bring something to their attention but don't complain, yet it's so pervasive that that's enough to get you over the hurdles? That's the kind of case I'm looking for.
I can't cite one.
All right.
I stand here, Your Honor. Sorry. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. We'll hear now from Mr. Jones.
May it please the court, good morning, Your Honors. It was my co-counsel, counsel. Your Honor, Maytag viewed the incidents that happened with respect to the PA system abuses as a violation of its policies. They, without any contact by the plaintiff at any time, the record is there's nothing in the record to reflect that the plaintiff ever complained to management about the PA system abuses. What the record does reflect is that when management did become aware of the PA system abuses, that management, senior management officials went to Mr. Harvey and personally apologized to him, that they then removed the access to the PA system.
But the problem is once the PA system becomes active again, the same behavior occurs,
well,
according to Mr. Harvey, and nothing is done.
Well, according to Mr. Harvey, that's what he says. The record does not reflect any specific testimony by him as to any of the days that occurred, any of the circumstances surrounding it occurring, just a general statement that it continued again. The thing is, though, Your Honor, what the law, and I believe if we look at Fuller versus Caterpillar, which is, of course, the district court opinion, but we look at McKenzie versus Illinois Department of Transportation, what the court has said is that the obligation is for when the employer is on notice that there is a problem. Okay? And first of all, he never complained that there was a problem, though we will agree that for purposes of common decency, the fact that those words were said was sufficient to put management on notice that there was a problem and they had to deal with it. But they felt that they had dealt with it. There is no evidence that management ever became aware subsequent to that point, through any means, that there were any continuing PA system abuses. He never came and reported it. No other employees came to report it. No one in management, there's no evidence in the record that anyone in management became aware of it. So we believe that based upon the case law, what the employer was obligated to do here was to take reasonable remedial measures, which it believed were effective, never received any information to indicate that those remedial measures were not effective. No complaints, never a single complaint from Mr. Harvey.
Didn't it reoccur when he was leaving the company?
Yes. The one incident known to management subsequent to these events that occurred in 1998 was after he was terminated and after he was leaving, and as he was leaving the plant out the door, there was one more derogatory comment that was made. And at that point, technically speaking, he is no longer an employee. I don't know that that is even, in that sense, then factually relevant at this point in the case law of this particular claim. Let me turn to, there are no other questions on the PA system abuses. Let me turn to the Hangman's, the so-called Hangman's nooses. The testimony in the record is that Mr. Harvey saw Mr. Gurley with this handhold on the cart where they drive. He also testified that Mr. Gurley had this stuffed monkey on the front on at least one occasion with what appeared to be a noose around the neck. There was the record certainly reflects some banter between the two of them. The record also reflects that he asked Mr. Gurley to make him one of these. But I think what's most important here is that the record reflects, and this is all that's in the testimony here, is that he had one conversation with Mr. Lieber about this. Why are they using it? You go ask them, was Mr. Lieber's response. That was it. Never talked to anybody in management about it. Never complained about it. And I didn't even complain to Mr. Lieber about it, that he thought this was an issue, that he actually thought that these handholds were being used for discriminatory reasons. And I think the law is that a plaintiff in this type of harassment case has to put management on notice that it thinks conduct is unacceptable and unwelcome. The handhold itself doesn't indicate that. So, on that particular...
So you would say that there is no case law that says that this conduct is so pervasive that in itself would put management on notice.
These are not
or
the...
offensive.
Excuse me, Your Honor. These are not the facts. Can I think of any possible... it would sort of be in the situation where it was... where you had actual testimony in the record by numerous witnesses as to the pervasive quality of it, and management said, well, we still didn't know anything about it, that might raise a credibility issue for purposes of summary judgment.
Okay, but that's not this case. This case, the only evidence in the record regarding continuing PA system abuses is a general statement by Mr. Harvey, but only himself, that they continued. No other evidence in the record about this, and no evidence that anyone in management was aware of it or that he ever reported it as a concern. The court has not even asked any questions, and counsel has not really addressed at all the issues related to the discharge. I think our arguments and the facts related to that are absolutely clear. This gentleman was fired because he sexually harassed, stalked, and retaliated against a coworker, and that was upheld in arbitration.
Tell me about this. When he came back to the factory at a time when he wasn't on duty, now why did that amount to harassment? Was that just an inference, or was there something happened that established that it was part of this pattern?
It was the whole context of facts, Your Honor. As management understood them at the time, she had complained of, and it's in the record, I don't need to, in terms of our brief, we highlighted the graphic nature of some of the things that Mr. Harvey said to her, how he touched her. She would switch shifts in order to get her away from his shift. Then, without any reason, he gave three different stories as to why he was in the plant that night. None of them could be corroborated. They were all internally inconsistent with each other. He was seen in her area, which would have nothing to do with any of the reasons why he claimed he was in the plant. That coupled with, of course, the statements from coworkers as to his efforts to hire somebody to beat her up, his threats to her life, all in that context, Your Honor, I think it was reasonable for management to conclude that his reasons for being in the plant that particular night was to stalk her and to frighten her. And that was a reasonable determination held honestly by management, and then ultimately all those facts were put through the grist of the arbitration process. So I believe that's the context of that reasonable conclusion by management. If there's nothing else, Your Honor, we ask that you affirm the decision of the district court. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. You have 1 minute left, Mr. Gross.
It's clear from the argument that we're here arguing back. The discharge itself was a hotly contested arbitration, which isn't binding on the court. It's full of factual disputes. Mr. Harvey's denied most all the allegations. Basically, he was discharged for having a dispute with coworkers who had used racially derogatory terms towards him. He denied the allegations about why he was at the plant, denied the allegations concerning the sexual innuendos. He denied even being anywhere near Lisa Wade when he was discharged. He was discharged supposedly for going to the plant when he wasn't supposed to be there, which many other people did on a regular basis and were disciplined. We believe that the record is full of factual disputes concerning his reason for discharge. And he had been an employee there for 20 years. So he had been performing satisfactorily for 20 years. He didn't have a perfect work record. I can see that. But he had, I see I'm out of time. Thank you, Your Honor.
Well, let me just ask you one question. In terms of him coming back to the plant, what was the purpose of that? I mean, coming back to the plant.
I believe he said he had some property there and it wasn't unusual for him to come back to the plant. I believe they all did it. There were numerous employees came to the plant at various times. He didn't see a problem with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gross. Our thanks to both counsel, and the case will be taken under advisement.